Hello everyone, and thank you for joining today's webinar on Deep Neural Networks in Azure, Transfer Learning and Fine-Tuning. Our presenter for today is Anusa Trivedi, a data scientist at Microsoft. Before we begin, I'd like to cover a few housekeeping items. Today's presentation will run for about an hour. The webinar is being recorded, and the recording will be made available on demand within 48 hours. A copy of today's presentation and recording link will be sent to you via email once the files become available. If you have any questions during the webcast, please enter your question in the Q&A widget on your left and click submit. We'll try to get through as many of these questions during the live broadcast as we can. With that, I'd like to turn it over to Anusa.
Thank you, Chris. Hello, everyone, and welcome to my talk. Today, I'll be talking about deep neural networks in Azure, and let's start. So brief outline before I begin my talk today. I was requested to build this talk up from ground, so I'll be starting with some introduction to deep learning and deep learning frameworks, moving on to deep neural networks, types of DNNs, and a few case studies. So let's start with discussing how traditional machine learning is different than deep learning and why do we need it. Traditional machine learning requires manual feature extraction, and the feature extraction for unstructured data is very difficult. The reason being, it is really very costly to get subject matter expertise on very domain-specific images or text. Deep learning can automatically learn features from data. Deep learning is largely regarded as a black box technique, updating learned weights at each layer. Today, we will try to dive a little bit deep into this black box technique and explore. So why is deep learning so popular suddenly? Deep learning models has been there for a long time. It began as late as the 1980s when Fukushima started with its neocognitron model. Jan LeCun introduced the concept of convolution neural networks as late as in 1989. Deep learning models usually requires a lot of data to train. Also, it's computationally very intensive. With the growth of big data and with the advent of powerful GPUs, training deep learning became much more easier, and thus the popularity grew. Let's discuss some common open source deep learning frameworks that we use today. We have largely divided it into two categories, non-symbolic and symbolic. In a non-symbolic or imperative framework, a program is executed in a given order. A symbolic framework is a tensor graph of vector operations, such as matrix addition or multiplication, or convolution. It allows users to invent new complex layer types without implementing them in a low-level language. Torch Cafe are two types of non-symbolic frameworks. CNTK, MXNet, Theano, and TensorFlow are types of symbolic frameworks. Non-symbolic frameworks require manual optimization, whereas symbolic frameworks can utilize automatic optimization. Non-symbolic frameworks are memory intensive, whereas memory can be reused for symbolic frameworks. Today we'll discuss a few symbolic frameworks. Computational Network Toolkit, or CNTK, is a deep learning framework developed by Microsoft Research. It supports almost all common deep learning models. It also supports multi-GPU training and natively distributed training. It has a great support for C++ and Python. The Python version we have right now for CNTK is a beta version, but a new stable version is going to come out very soon next month. Theano was developed by a group at University of Montreal as late as in 2007. Theano is easy to customize with domain-specific data that with the use of Lasani and Keras on top of Theano. There is an experimental multi-GPU support for Theano through Platoon. Some experimental GPU frameworks are also available. Distributed frameworks are also available through Keras. And Theano has a great Python support. TensorFlow is a deep learning toolkit developed by Google. It supports almost all common deep learning models and also supports natively distributed training and multi-GPU training. TensorFlow also supports Python. MXNet is a toolkit developed by DMLSE. It supports almost all common deep learning models, as well as multi-GPU and distributed training. Along with Python, MXNet supports R. And we are using MXNet in Azure GPU VMs. We'll explore how we do that. So let's dive deep into deep neural networks. On the left-hand side, there is the image which is known as non-deep feedforward neural network. The number of hidden layers in a non-deep framework is two or less than two. However, if the number of deep hidden layers are more than two, as in the right-hand side picture, we call it a deep neural network. Let's discuss some common deep neural networks we use today. Deep convolution neural networks are used to extract representation from images. Recurrent neural networks are used to extract representation from sequential data. Deep belief networks are used to extract hierarchical representation from a data set, as in like music auto refills. Today in our talk, we'll cover deep convolution neural networks. As we can see, convnets are almost present everywhere today. We find convnets in Google Photo Search, face verification, and OCR, as well as in self-driving cars. Convnets have also been used in multiple image competitions like Well Recognition Kaggle Challenge, Satellite Image Analysis, WaveNet, Galaxy Challenge, and Image Captioning. Convnets have also been used in Deep Dream and Neural Style projects, where we try to transfer a normal picture to Van Gogh style. So now let's dive deep into deep convolution neural network and try to explore it a bit. But before we start, let's discuss some of the common terminologies we use with respect to deep convolution neural networks. Kernel is a small matrix useful for blurring, sharpening, embossing, and edge detection. Slide controls how the filter convolves and reduces the input volume. Padding is applied to reduce at the decrease rate of the input volume at each stride. Hyperparameters helps create abstractions of an image at a proper scale. ReLUs, or rectified linear units, is a nonlinear activation layer applied after each convolution layer to increase the accuracy and reduce the vanishing gradient problem. After some of the ReLU layers, programmers may choose to apply a pooling layer. It is also referred to as a downsampling layer. In this category, there are also several options, with max pooling being the most popular one. This basically takes a filter, normally of the size 2x2, and a stride of the same length. It then applies it to the input volume and outputs the maximum number in every subregion that the filter convolves around. Other options for pooling layers are average pooling and L2 norm pooling. The intuitive reasoning behind this layer is that once we know that a specific feature is an original input volume, its exact location is not as important as its relative location to the other features. As you can imagine, this layer drastically reduces the spatial dimension of the input volume. This serves two main purposes. The first one is the amount of parameters or weights is reduced by 75%, thus lessening the computation cost. The second reason being that it can control overfitting to some extent. Dropout layers drops a random set of activations in a layer by setting them to zero for the forward pass so that the network does not overfit to the training data. A fully connected layer takes an input volume and outputs an n-dimensional vector. Now let's dive deep into the convolution layer. For a 32x32x3 image, we apply a 5x5x3 filter here. Filters always extend the full depth of the input volume. By using this filter, we try to convolve with the image, that is, we slide over the image spatially, computing dot products. Such computation is shown on the right-hand side of the slide, where we show that how a 3x3 kernel is convolved over a 4x4 input. Let's dive deep into the max pooling layer. As we discussed, it makes the representation smaller and more manageable, as we can see from the top part of the image. It operates over each activation map independently. That is, it works as a downsampling and it takes layer-wise downsampling. The max pooling which we use for our models today is described here. This is, on the left is the single depth slice, and we try to apply max pool with two cross-through filters and a stride 2, and we get the max pool layer from the single depth slice. The max pool layer is shown on the right. Fully connected layers contains neurons that connect to the entire input volume as in ordinary neural networks. So we take an image, it goes over convolution, values, and pooling layers, and in the fully connected layer, we are able to extract labels for the images. Now let's discuss ImageNet. ImageNet is an image database of almost 1 million natural images. It has 1,000 labels or categories. It has been used in multiple image competitions and is used as a standard. Berkeley Vision and Learning Center have trained DNN models on ImageNet and made the pre-trained weights publicly available. We would be using this publicly available weights today to actually train our models. Now let's see how deep convolution neural networks have evolved over time. The most popular one was the AlexNet, which was developed by Alex Sikorsky, Sutskever, and Hinton in 2012. It had record-breaking performance on ImageNet dataset. It utilized data augmentation and dropout, which we will be using today too. The next most famous algorithm which came out was the VGGNet. The VGGNet was created by Karen Simoyan and Andrew Zisserman of the University of Oxford. It consisted of 19 layers. It used 3x3 filters with stride and padding of 1, along with 2x2 max pooling layers with stride of 2. It reinforced the notion that convolution neural networks have to have a deep network of layers in order for the hierarchical representation of visual data to work. The next most famous one which came out was the GoogleNet. GoogleNet is a 22-layer CNN and was the winner of ALICE VRC 2014 with a top 5 error rate of 6.7%. GoogleNet was one of the first models that introduced the idea that CNN layers didn't always have to be stacked up sequentially. This model places notable consideration on memory and power usage. However, stacking of all these layers and adding huge number of filters has a computational and memory cost, as well as it increases the chance of overfitting. I often tend to use a L2 regularizer on top of GoogleNet to avoid overfitting. GoogleNet uses inception. GoogleNet is not everything. In GoogleNet, not everything is happening sequentially. Pieces of this network are happening in parallel. The bottom green box is our input, and the top one is the output of the model. Inception module allows us to perform convolution and pooling operation in parallel, as you can see here. Inception module creates a network in network convolution, which extracts information about the very fine-grained details in the input volume. Inception module also has a pooling operation that helps to reduce spatial sizes and combat overfitting. ReLUs after each convolution layer helps improve the nonlinearity in this network. Thus, this network is able to perform the functions while still remaining computationally considerate. Let's discuss Inception Batch Norm Network. It performs normalization for training each mini batch. Batch normalization on top of Inception GoogleNet allows us to use much higher learning rates and be less careful about the initialization weights. It acts as a regularizer, eliminating the need for dropout. Let's compare the Inception performance with the prior VGGNet. As we can see, though the number of CNN layers in Inception increases, we still get a more computationally computationally usable model compared to VGGNet. So VGGNet is more computationally intensive than compared to Inception 5, 6, or 7. Another model which became very famous is the region-based CNN, or the RCNN. Ross Gersick and his group at UC Berkeley created this model. It determines a specific object's exact location. RCNNs has become a standard for object detection. Faster RCNNs are an improved version of this model, which utilizes the ResNet. Here in this model, we take an input image. We try to extract regions from that input region, from that input image. We try to warp that region and compute CNN features on the warped region. And we try to classify these regions into levels. Generating image descriptions is another model which is very commonly used. It is a combination of CNN and RNN. Andrej Karpathy and Fei-Fei Li created this model. It combines the field of computer vision and natural language processing. It uses CNNs and bidirectional RNNs to generate natural language descriptions of different image regions. As you can see in this image, we actually get an image along with some descriptions. We try to generate labels for that image from the associated description, and then we try to test it on a different set of image. As you can see, it can recognize a tabby cat correctly in a different test image. The next model which became really famous, the most recent one, is the Microsoft's ResNet. Microsoft ResNet was developed by MSR, and it is a very deep neural network architecture with almost 152 layers. ResNet won ILRC VRC 2015 with an incredible low rate of 3.7%. It sets new records in classification, detection, and localization. So if in this chart we try to show how the depth of deep convolution networks has increased over years. AlexNet started with layers as low as 8 convolution layers, and it went on increasing over the years until in 2015, ResNet came out with 152 layers, reducing the error rate to as low as 3.57%. That was a little bit about the deep convolution neural network, a brief idea. Now, there are other deep neural networks apart from deep convolution neural networks, the two most important one of them being the RNN and the DBN. Recurrent neural networks, or RNNs, are networks with loops in them allowing information to persist. Long short-term memory, or LSTM networks, are a special kind of RNN capable of learning long-term dependencies. It is good for state-wise, step-by-step caption generation kind of a stuff. Deep Belief Network, or DBN, is a model developed by Hinton et al. RBNs can be stacked and trained in a greedy manner to form so-called deep belief networks. DBNs can extract a deep hierarchical representation from the training data, which can be used in certain niche tasks like music auto-refill. Now let's move on to transfer learning and fine-tuning and discuss it a bit. Transfer learning is the process of taking a pre-trained model and fine-tuning the model with our own data set. On the left-hand side, we see a convolution neural network being trained on ImageNet. We have almost 1,000 labels coming out of it. So the training data can vary up to millions, that making the model computationally very intensive, and it takes a long time to train the model. However, we get a very high accuracy. With transfer learning, we try to transfer some of the left trained model weights to the right model, and we try to fix some of the weights through the fine-tuning task and add some more classification layers on top of the new task so that we can get different outcomes. ImageNet gives out 1,000 labels. What if I want only 2 labels? I can fine-tune my network and add a classifier at the end to give me only 2 labels out of this model. Thus, we are reducing the training data. We are reducing the computation as well as the training time. But we are actually sacrificing a little bit on the model accuracy. So this transfer learning and fine-tuning actually helps us train a model much faster and much more easily and on a much smaller amount of data with very little expense on the model accuracy. Let's look at how we do transfer learning. The first one is how we train a standard ImageNet on a standard deep convolutional neural network model. If we have a small data set and we want to use it, we can use a trained ImageNet deep convolution network as a feature extractor. We freeze almost all the trained layers and we only train the last classification layers. If we have a medium-sized data set, which is most common in real cases, in real world, we can apply fine-tuning. We actually freeze the top layers, top convolution layers. In a deep convolution neural network, the top layers helps us give information about color, hues, angles of an image. Training these layers takes the most amount of time. If we can fix these layer weights and only train the bottom convolution layers along with the new classifier, it speeds up the training process much faster. And we get a quite good accuracy out of this model. Let's look at this paper, CNN Features of the Shelf by Razavian et al. In 2015. As you can see, if you look at this image, CNN on off the shelf plus augmentation, which is shown by the red pipes, you see that while using transfer learning and augmentation combination, the authors have been able to get most accuracy out of the transfer learning on ImageNet. So we try to apply transfer learning along with augmentation on the case studies that we use. So let's talk about how Azure is playing a role here. We have GPUs in Azure nowadays. Azure introduced GPUs with its N-series preview availability. There are three types of configuration available for deep learning tasks. There is NC6 with one NVIDIA Tesla GPU, NC12 with two NVIDIA Tesla K80 GPUs, and NC24 with four NVIDIA Tesla K80 GPUs. I have trained my models in an Azure GPU VM where I have used Ubuntu 16.04 N series VM with NC24 framework where I have four NVIDIA Tesla K80 GPUs. As you can see from the right hand side of the image, there are four Tesla GPUs available in the GPU instance that I'm using. So let's look at the first case study, ResNet on Cypher 10. So here, this model is based on the blog on how to use MXNet with MRO. Tao Wu and team came up with this blog, and it describes a detailed step-by-step, it gives a detailed step-by-step instruction on how to install MRO with MXNet with MRO or MRS. I have used MXNet with MRO and one GPU to train the exact ResNet model on Cypher 10. The code is available in this blog link. You can actually take a look at the code and try it out on your own. The second case study that we discussed is fine-tuning pre-trained inception batch normal network. For this case study, we have used an ImageNet pre-trained Inception BN network. That is, the Inception BN network has been trained on ImageNet, and the weights have been made available. We are using those weights. We used MXNet with Anaconda, Python, and four GPUs, and we tried to predict contents of a new unseen image. Let's look at how we do it. In this code snippet, if you can see, we are loading some of the model, the image inception BN model weights, the pre-trained ImageNet weights. And I'm distributing the testing over four GPUs. I have four GPUs, so I'm trying to describe a range from 0 to 3. And I load the trained weights on already trained inception BN module. I'm not doing any fine tuning, but I'm just doing transfer learning here. I load the mean image weights as well as the descriptions associated with the images that have been that we have trained the Inception BN model with. Now we test it on the second snippet. We try to load this image, which was not part of the training image, and try to see what is the information we get out of this image. The top one person gives me candle, paper, wax, light. So as you can see, it's giving me pretty good content without even training on anything else. Like I'm just getting an ImageNet trained weight, and it's giving me a pretty good description of the image. Now let's discuss some medical image analysis. In this model, we are trying to use both transfer learning as well as fine tuning. We use label fluorescein angiography images of eyes to improve diabetic retinopathy prediction. We use DCNN to improve diabetic retinopathy prediction. We use Titano, Lasani, and Keras with Anaconda, Python, and one GPU. Let's give me a brief overview or background of what is diabetic retinopathy prediction before we jump deep into it. Diabetic retinopathy prediction is one of the major losses for vision loss in US. So what happens in this is people who are affected with diabetes, they start getting their blood vessels dilated. It's very much necessary to actually recognize this presence of this image at an earlier stage, so that we can start treatment at an early stage to actually prevent complete vision loss. Just by looking at it, we cannot say which of these ones have got diabetic retinopathy and which of these ones are not affected by diabetic retinopathy. Subject matter expertise on this thing is really necessary, and deep learning helps us overcome that trouble. Just the top ones are all the diabetic retinopathic images, and the bottom ones are all the non-diabetic retinopathic images. Though these two, the top right one and the bottom left one, looks very similar. We try to apply transfer learning from a pre-trained ImageNet pre-trained GoogleNet. The trained ImageNet features are transferred as initial weights for diabetic retinopathy prediction. The lower layers, that is the first two layers of the pre-trained diabetic deep convolutional neural network, contains generic features and weights that can be used for the diabetic retinopathy prediction task. We also apply augmentation, as we see from the paper, that example that I gave you. Transfer learning and fine tuning works really good with augmentation. By augmentation, what I mean is I'm just rotating the images at different angles. This helps us in two cases. This helps us reduce overfitting, as well as it helps us to increase the image data set, the labeled image data set that is available. In domain-specific images, it's really difficult to get labeled images. If by augmentation, we can increase the data set size. For myself, for this problem, I have used augmentation at four different angles, 0, 90 degree, 180 degree, and 270 degree. This is how we train the model. We take an image, we apply augmentation at four different angles, we fix the first two layer weights, and train the rest of the layers, and then apply a binary classifier at the end to get out diabetic retinopathy or non-diabetic retinopathy label. As you can imagine, there are like 1,000 labels because we are using an ImageNet pre-trained model. There are 1,000 labels, so we have to put a binary classifier at the end. In the code snippet in the below image that you can see, I am trying to apply a binary classifier in the second line, where I apply number of units equal to 2. And I try to load a pre-trained GoogleNet ImageNet trained model, where I actually load the GoogleNet.pickle, which is the trained image weight file. Now I come to fine-tuning. I've loaded the pre-trained images, and I'm trying to fine-tune the layers. If you'd want to train all the layers, you actually do modem params equal to the last layer, the last fully connected layer. However, I want to fix all the top first two convolutions and retrain the rest of the convolution and the fully connected layers, as well as put a classifier on top of it. So that's what I'm doing. I'm not training all the models. I'm fixing the first two convolution layers, and I'm retraining only the last layers. Now I have actually created the model, but I need to train it still. So I have transferred the image weight, I have fine-tuned it, and now my model is fine-tuned and ready to be trained. What I do now is I actually try to train this model for number of repetitions. For me, the number of repetitions is 4, and the number of epochs is 500. So under each repetition, I'm iterating over 500 epochs. That is, I'm training the whole model for 20,000 iterations. And I'm using 12,000 images only. So 6,000 diabetic retinopathy, 6,000 non-diabetic retinopathy. And I'm trying to train it only on 12,000 images. As you can imagine, this will be much faster because I'm not training on millions of images as ImageNet was trained on. At the end of each repetition, I save the trained pickle file. At the end, we get something like this. The green ones are the correct levels prediction. So I'm using it as a validation data set, which I have taken out separately. I'm trying to check if how many of the ones that my trained model is predicting correctly. At the end of epoch 500 for repetition 3, I get a training accuracy of close to 60% and a validation accuracy of 79% and an AUC of 84%. As you can see, the accuracy is not really very high. It's only close to 80%. However, this data set was used in Kaggle, and the team who won the Kaggle competition were able to get to as close as 83%, and that was the best accuracy they could achieve on this data set. But it took them quite a few days, 5 to 7 days to train it. For my case, it took me only 24 hours to train this model. So as you can imagine, through transfer learning and fine-tuning, I've reduced the training time considerably, just, you know, sacrificing a little bit on the accuracy. Once we have trained this model, we try to use this GPU-trained model in Azure Machine Learning Studio. We take the trained pickle files as well as the dependent packages, and we try to put it in a deep learning bundle. We enter some data manually, some of the images for testing, and we write a Python script to generate a scoring function, where we try to predict the levels for the incoming test image. After running this, we have deployed it as a web service. Jamie Olson actually helped me create this module. So thank you so much, Jamie, for helping me out on this. There is a Python test script, which we have mentioned in the earlier slide. So definitely, this is what we are doing here. We are, as you can see, there is a trained GoogleNet pickle. I'm loading in line 15. In line 14, I'm loading the original GoogleNet, the ImageNet trained GoogleNet pickle file. In the script bundling, in line 12, I'm loading all the packages and the site packages dependencies that they are like Piano, Lusane, Keras. I've installed all of them and transferring all the DLLs and stuff. And on the bottom snippet on line 127, I'm starting to define a scoring function. And this scoring function helps me predict a level for the test image. I do a batch testing I use the web service backend, and I do a batch testing on the test images. As you can see, I can totally see that there it's predicting quite correctly. I used multiple batch trainings, and it showed me it's getting an accuracy as close to 80% as we have seen from the training image. Some other uses of this deep convolution neural network models. I showed this only on diabetic retinopathy prediction. However, these could be used as well as in MRIs, USG CT scan, as well as in normal JPEG images to detect carcinoma. So once we have this model trained, it would be very easy to just change the input source, fine-tune the final classification layer, and transfer the ImageNet trained weights and develop a model like the one which I have developed. Let's discuss some of the reusability of this deep convolution neural network models. We used fine-tuned ImageNet trained weights for medical image analysis. However, we can also use fine-tune the same ImageNet trained deep convolution neural network models in a completely different domain and for a completely different task. Let's discuss image caption generation. I have described before the image caption generation is a combination of convolution neural networks and recurrent neural networks. I use the ImageNet trained deep convolution neural network and learn about the Microsoft COCO image features. Microsoft COCO is a set of natural images where we have some descriptions associated with the images. So what I do is I take the ImageNet trained deep convolution neural network and learn the Microsoft COCO image features through transfer learning and fine tuning. Then I use the long short-term memory recurrent neural network on these learned image features for the image caption generation. Let's look at how we do it. So our model architecture looks something like this. We have an image, we feed it to the ImageNet pre-trained Google Lite, we get the image features out, feed it to a stacked LSTM. And we already have some captions associated with the trained MS COCO ImageNet. So we're getting the image features, getting the associated descriptions, and trying to predict new tags for the new image that we're getting. Let's look at how we are doing it. So I am loading, for the initial weight purpose, I'm loading the GoogleNet pickle file, which is the ImageNet trained weight pickle file. And I'm also loading the dataset underscore coco.json, which is the text associated with this images, the text description associated with the MS COCO images. And I'm training it. I'm training ImageNet pre-trained GoogleNet model on top of MS COCO image set along with MS COCO descriptions. Now, to associate the CNN features with each and every one of the descriptions, what I do is I get a CNN embedding from the images, and I try to get the RNN input with the sentence embedding and the CNN features embedding. At the end, I try to apply an LSTM on top of this RNN input. Let's take a look at how it does. Once trained, I try to fit a new image to it. The ImageNet pre-trained GoogleNet gives me a description of only something called Alps. However, once I apply the same image to the MSNet COCO trained image, it gives me a completely different description. It tells me a man riding skis on snow-covered slope. A skier is standing on the snow on a snowy day. Similarly, on the right-hand side, as you can see, using only ImageNet-trained GoogleNet gives me ski. However, if we are using the ImageNet pre-trained GoogleNet on top of MS COCO and then using the model on the same image, it's giving me pretty accurate description, as in the second one, it predicts a man riding a skateboard down a hill. In case study 5, we try to actually make this image caption generation more domain-specific. We try to predict some tags for fashion images. We use the ImageNet-trained deep convolution neural network and learn the apparent classification with style dataset image features. Apparel classification with style is a dataset for fashion images with associated tags. It consists of 16 categories of upper body clothes. And we try to predict when we try to train the ImageNet trained convolution network on top of ACS, we try to predict what the content of the fashion images are. We also apply fine tuning and transfer learning as usual. Then we use a long short-term memory recurrent neural network on the learned image features for image caption generation. It's pretty similar to the earlier models. We use image augmentation here. We do some transfer learning, as we did in the medical image analysis. And we use the same CNN-RN model that we used for MS COCO dataset. Here, This is the architecture that we are using. We take a ACS ImageNet, this is what it looks like, and we feed it to a deep convolution neural network, feed the features from the deep convolution network to a LSTM RNN, and these are the tags which are generated from the image. Now, using the GoogleNet PicoNet file, we see that if we feed this image to the only ImageNet trained GoogleNet, it gives me WinSearch high. However, when I have retrained my ImageNet GoogleNet on top of the ACS images data set, it gives me completely different tags. It gives me jersey, t-shirt, upper body, suit of clothes. So as you can see here, it correctly identifies two types of clothes. It identifies that there is a person wearing suit and there is a person wearing t-shirt. I promise I'll give out some of the resources, and here is some of the resources that that you can see here. Microsoft is working a lot on many deep learning projects with many customers. This is some of the work which we have done, and as blogs, as well as some tutorials, some GitHub links. Feel free to explore this. I am sure you will find this helpful. I'll try to share my screen and try to go over some of the examples. Let's try to do some screen share, and I'll give it a few minutes so that you guys can see it. It takes a little bit of time to render. Okay, so this is very much similar to the medical image data set. So here I'm using a VGG net, and I'm trying to train that model, and to recognize if the incoming image is a waffle or a pancake. I've trained the image, and this is what it looks like. I'm sorry, there is a lag, so that's why it's looking like this. I hope you can see it. Yeah, so it's pretty similar to the medical image analysis. First, I tried out this model on a natural image because it's difficult to train it, because ImageNet is a set of natural images. So it's very easy to transfer the learned weights from a natural image to another kind of natural image. However, I've used the transfer learning on a very domain-specific niche kind of image, which is like medical images. There, the accuracy is much lower. For this model, the accuracy was much higher, close to 90%. I used the medical images data. I can run and show it to you how it comes out to be. I just hope it renders correctly. Okay. And this is what the model looks like when I run it. I've already trained it. I just loaded some of the few test images, and this is what it looks like. I have deployed the trained image in Azure ML Studio, as I showed you in the web. And let's open this and see if I can open it. Okay, as you can see, I'm loading a trained image into Azure ML Studio. I'm retraining only the last few layers. I'm trying to classify diabetic retinopathy or non-diabetic retinopathy and try to define a scoring function here. Okay. And now, after that, I actually deploy it as a web service, and the deployed web service looks something like this. Give it a few minutes to, okay. And now we can do the batch execution or the REST execution. Currently, the batch execution is working really well. The REST execution is not working so well for me. It's timing out. It's giving me a timeout error, which I need to still figure out, but yeah. That's that. So we can still use it as I showed you in the image. So here we can actually test out these four images, and it's giving me some correct predictions. Okay, so moving on, I have used the, as I showed you in the images, I have used the CNN RNN for MS Coco, and this is what it is looking like. So if I get an image, And for GoogleNet, it's giving me alts. For our other images, it's giving me card description. Let's look at how the ACS, like the fashion image caption generation, does. If I feed this image to a GoogleNet trained Pickle file, it actually tells me the label is crotch. There's nothing associated with the dress here. But if I use the features from the ACS trained images, it gives me long dress or robe. At least it's giving me something better. It's have some idea that there are some people wearing dresses or robes here. For this image, when I use it on GoogleNet trained image set, it gives me just bow tie, bow tie, bow tie. However, it's not telling me that the bow tie is the least of all which is recognizable. So the dresses are not described at all here. When I use the ACS trained image model, it actually gives me a cloak or a short dress. I hope that was helpful, and I can now take some of the questions. Let me just stop sharing the screen and look at the questions here. Okay. I haven't yet uploaded the resources. We are actually trying to write a few blogs on top of it. I've already published 3 blogs. It is in the deep learning resource list. So definitely we'll be distributing the slides after this, after 48 hours, I'm guessing. That's what Chris told me. Within 48 hours, you'll be getting the slides as well as recording of this video. We are writing a few blogs, and we will be publishing the codes, the GitHub links on the blogs. Okay, and I see. How do I determine how many layers to fine tune? So actually, I tried to describe that in one of the slides. If I can find that, I'll try to publish it. Okay. In this slide, actually, as you can see, I'm telling that if there is a small data set, we only train the last layer. Okay. There is not enough data set to train convolution layers. There's no point training it. So definitely, that is the way to go about it. In the medium data set, we try to fine tune the last 2 convolution layers. It depends on how much similar the layers are. I showed you the pancake and the waffle images data set, right? It is very similar to the ImageNet data set because these are like natural images. So definitely, just training one last layer of the convolution along with the classifier should work. If, however, in my case, in the medical image analysis case, we actually train more convolution neural networks than usual because those are domain specific. The ImageNet dataset has no idea about medical images, so definitely I'm only fixing the first 2 convolution neural networks there and training the rest of all the layers. Okay. Do the input images have to be the same size as with transfer learning we use the top layers? Yes, definitely the input images have to be the same size. That's what I did. ImageNet uses 2×2×4 images. I used that dimension. If your image is 224 pixel cross 224 pixel, or bigger than that, or lower than that, I think lower than that should work. If it's bigger than that, definitely crop it out and make it match the same size. If not, then you might have to edit some of the mean weights which come along with trained weights. So it becomes more complicated. You cannot use the already trained Pickle file which comes right and just load it and use it. There can be some reason that you need. There can be a way of modifying the Pickle weights, but then it reduces the reusability of a trained model. Okay, how many images is enough to fine-tune a deep convolution neural network model? That also depends on the type of images. So definitely, if you are using natural images, smaller number of images would do. If you are using some domain-specific images, you need more images so that the ImageNet model pre-trained weights could be fine-tuned enough to fit your own training data set. Okay, I think I answered that. Then there is, can I deploy a ML deep learning model on Android or iPhone? Yes, there is Microsoft Cognitive Services, which has deep learning models running at the back end, and we give out the access for deploying it on handheld devices. For this one, you can do it if you have already trained a model in Azure GPU VMs, deployed it in Azure ML Studio as a web service. You can use that web service on Android or iPhone or anything, any other platform, because you're just hitting the web service endpoint. It does not matter where your model is deployed. You're just hitting the web service endpoint, and it will run on Azure. So Azure models can be run from Android and iPhone, so I think that should work. I talked about image processing and prediction. I'm wondering if DNN can be used for non-image related experiments that are the pre. Yes, that's what I said in the beginning. I will try to push. Okay. Yes, so deep convolution neural networks are the examples I said I will cover. Deep convolution neural networks, I covered deep convolution neural networks as well as LST, as well as parts of RNN, but I didn't cover deep belief network, like didn't cover anything associated with musics or anything like that, or any hierarchical representation of the data. I just took sequential representation of data. So definitely DNNs consists of deep convolution neural network, RNN, DBN, and many other, like deep reinforcement learning and stuff like that. So DNNs can be used for non-image experiments. Yes, your answer is yes. Okay, the actual outcome of the error, yes, and metrics of the company's weight might not be fair to compare the results to yours. Well, yes, you're right, and I have not used all the images. I have used only 12,000 images. So definitely, that's what I wanted to compare to, that how using less images and training for less time actually gives you a pretty close accuracy. Since the training and testing, we need high-end hardware GPUs, which are hard to get on personal laptops. What are the other ways to accomplish this? That's what I actually tried to explain through the Azure GPU VMs. We have GPUs available now in the Azure cloud. You need not do anything, but just to get a connection or set up your account with the Azure GPU VMs, and then you can train your models in there. We know it's hard to get access to this high-end hardwares, but with just some subscription-based access, you should be able to access these GPU VMs, train your models, and then deploy these models in other places like Azure Data Lakes or Azure Machine Learning Studio. I hope that helps. Can I modify a CNN for a regression task instead of classification? Yes, definitely depends on what CNN you're talking about. If it's a deep convolution neural network, you should be. If it's a RNN, you also should be, but then there are some others which you cannot. So definitely you can. So to answer your question, you can do regression task instead of classification. Is there a free tier in Azure to play around like the AWS free tier? This is still in preview, so definitely I'm not aware of how when we actually publish it, we do not know how we are going to handle the subscriptions. So that's definitely something to watch out for. We just announced the Azure GPU VMs yesterday in Microsoft Data Science Summit. There is a Tao Wu and team that is actually doing a live tutorial in the Microsoft Data Science Summit on these. So definitely, it's something to watch out for. I'm sure we'll be getting more information on it, how we plan to handle the free tier, how we handle to handle the subscription rates and things like that. Some more on augmentation skills. Definitely, we'll be making the codes actually public very soon. So definitely something to look out for. I'll be tweeting it. So my Twitter handle is @ANURIVE. Once we have the data set, I'll be tweeting it out. So there's something to definitely look for it. For augmentation, you can use lots and lots of stuff. You can use some filters, you can use noise cancellation, but I have just used rotation of images because I just wanted to keep, because I'm using transfer learning, I wanted to keep the color color and hue absolutely intact and not mess up with the original forensic and geographic images colors. So that's why I didn't use any regularizer on top of it. Does Azure ML already leverage GPU provided subscription is cleared? Would GPU notebook in Azure ML would leverage them, for instance? Yes, definitely. All my notebooks are running from Azure GPU VMs, and I'm running them on Jupyter notebooks. So definitely, definitely that is something to look forward to. Yes, absolutely. So the question is, I mentioned at the beginning that deep learning training is a black box, and is there any active research going on to debug the DNs? Definitely, not as such debug. It's more like a development, continuous development and research is going on. So the one which I showed you today, these are all research work. The medical image analysis example which I showed you today is an accepted work in NIPS. So we submitted in NIPS, and definitely these are all in research phase. We are always trying to improve the models and make the training phase much more easier. So definitely, it is a field of very active research. How do I analyze my results to see what features are being learned by neural networks and to help guide the design of new neural networks? I think that's what the thing is. I mean, you do not need to monitor it at every layer. However, you can definitely do that. As I showed you, I think in a code snippet, when I'm training it, I'm actually trying to, let me push that slide. When I'm training it, I'm actually trying to save in multiple iterations. So one phase of like testing to see how your new design is working is you can test out different ImageNet trained weights at different levels and see which one is like if it's improving over time, over number of repetitions, or over the increasing the number of epochs. So that is one way in which you can do it. Okay. What DNN architecture fits best with my input data? Is a sparse multidimensional time series data, and you want to forecast some process from a data? Okay, so sparse multidimensional time series data, I think DVN, because in time series data, if you are trying to represent the data hierarchically, and I expect if it's time series, you want to represent it hierarchically. A deep belief network would be something which you might want to try out. I do not know exactly what your input is, so that's all I can say right now. So definitely deep belief networks are something which would work good with time series data. Okay, if I'm not getting the desired results from a DNN, how can I find out where it's going wrong? That's the same answer I gave out just a few minutes back. So training fine-tuned network, you actually try to train for multiple epochs over multiple repetitions. Good thing is to actually try and see if it's converging correctly. If it's not converging correctly, you'll get something like NAND weights. So it will actually blow out of proportion, or it will never converge. You are going on training for 50,000, 100,000 repetitions, it's still not converging. Definitely, there is some problem. The problem are most of the time for these cases are the initiation weights. And if you're using some regularizers, like I have used L2 regularizer, if I'm using L2 regularizer, the decay rate of the L2 regularizer is something to look out for. So those are the initial weights, the initiation weights, the decay rates of the weights, the regularizer weights, the decay rate of the regularizer weights are very few of the things that you should look out at. I think we're quite over time, so I'll encourage everyone to actually send me an email if additional questions. If I have not been able to take more questions, please feel free to forward it at my email address. My email address is trivedianusua23@gmail.com. So trivedianusua23@gmail.com. So please feel free to drop email or questions, and we'll try to take it as possible. Thank you so much. I hope this was helpful.
Thanks, Anusua, for the great presentation. As a reminder, we'll be sending out the slides and recording of the session shortly. Please take a moment to fill out the survey questions. Your feedback is very helpful and helps us improve the webinars. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.